This is a message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Burlington, North Carolina. For other sermons from Antioch, you can visit the church website at antiochchurch.cc. Now let's turn our hearts to the Word of God.
This is a different kind of birth announcement, isn't it? First of all, he says, this is good news to all. How many of you sent your birth announcement to all people? No, you had a select few people that were special to you, family and friends, who got the great news of your birth, the baby's birth. Secondly, how many of you put your names in there? You know, it is with great pleasure that John and Sally announced the birth of their new bouncing baby boy, Bert, or whatever. But John and Sally made it into the announcement, didn't they? This should say, good news of great joy, for there is born today to Joseph and Mary. Doesn't say that. For there is born to you. To you. You notice that? The birth announcement was given to the shepherds and to the world. Good news to all. Great joy to all. For there is born to you. Can you imagine this afternoon, if you haven't opened your Christmas presents yet, and I know some of you participate in such activities as we do at our house. And so under the Christmas tree, if you have one, there are Christmas presents. Can you imagine all the Christmas presents just saying to all people? You try that at your house today. See how that works. Now, if you have a 2-year-old, that's kind of the way it works, you know, because all the Christmas presents are for the 2-year-old. He's going to open them all anyway. But normally, the Christmas, one of the great joys of Christmas is looking under the tree to find the one that says, your name, right? You're looking for your name, and you'll pick it up, and you'll kind of shake it, maybe, or smell it. Or some of you who are particularly not good at waiting for something will actually unwrap it when no one's looking. You know who you are, and then you'll tape it back very carefully and put it back, and then you already know what you're getting on Christmas morning. Or some of us have already, you know, you shop for yourselves anyway, but don't worry, honey. I'll pick it out. I'll give it to you to wrap. You know, so this gift didn't say to all, or these gifts don't say to all. They say to you. And I think we need to understand this morning, today, Christmas Day, if you haven't made that connection yet, that this day is all about the birth of a Savior to you. I think Martin Luther said, you know, we really don't understand and appreciate and walk in, and I'm paraphrasing greatly, but we don't appreciate and walk in the power of the Christmas message until we can use personal pronouns. The Savior wasn't born to them. The Savior wasn't born for some people. As the liberals like to say, the Savior wasn't born, or Jesus isn't the white man's God. Are you kidding me? Most of the Christians in the world aren't white now. Hello? But the Savior was born to you. And that's the first and most powerful thing we need to understand this morning about this message. For to you is born this day in the city of David. Secondly, it's this day. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, and I won't read all these verses, but in the book of Deuteronomy, 53 times God told the people that He was doing something for them today. Let me just read a couple of them. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. Deuteronomy 11, 26. Deuteronomy 20 says, and he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. That sounds familiar. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And then one more in Deuteronomy 26. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and you will walk in His ways and keep His statutes, His commandments, and His judgments, and that you will obey His voice. Also today, Listen, saints, this is the message of Christmas. Today, the Lord has proclaimed you to be His special people. Just as He promised you that you should keep all His commandments and that He will set you high above all nations, which He has made in praise, in name, and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as He has spoken. God spoke that word to His people Israel. And now we have been grafted into Israel by virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ. So that word for us is today as well. 53 times. God was giving the law to His people then. And here in Luke 2, the message of the angel is that today God has fulfilled the law in the coming of the Savior. And so the first reason that Jesus came, I believe, was to reveal God to us. Incarnation means that God became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. God became a man. God left glory. Secondly, He became our Savior. For today in the city of David, a Savior is born. The second reason He came was to accomplish our salvation. God took on human flesh, left glory, and became a baby born to a Jewish woman in Bethlehem. You talk about an incredible journey. A few years ago, a woman crossed the Atlantic by herself in a rowboat. That sounds incredible. When I was a boy, a man by the name of Neil Armstrong took one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. Remember the year? 69, some of you said that. Of course, my students at Elon say, no, it didn't happen. It happened in Arizona, smoke and mirrors. Right. Not many students say that, but Hannibal, the Carthaginian general, surprised the Romans when he crossed the Alps in 217 B.C. Remember what he had with him? 26,000 troops, 6,000 horses, and his special weapon, crossed the Alps with elephants. What did they use the elephants for? They were like tanks, you know. They smashed the lines of the troops, right? Amazing, incredible journey to cross the Alps with elephants. But those pale in comparison to the journey, the greatest journey of all, that God would leave behind the glory of heaven. And Philippians 2 talks about this. And take on the form of a servant. Keeping the essence of God, adding to that the essence of man, the God-man, stepped through the veil, as Norm Wakefield would say, and entered this plane, this place, so that he could die. Leith Anderson writes about being in Manila in the Philippines several years ago, and he was taken, of all places, to the Manila garbage dump, the landfill. Just imagine with me, if we took a trip this morning down to the southern part of the county where the landfill is. How many of you have been to the landfill? You know what I'm talking about. How many of you have been to a landfill? Okay, you get the picture of a landfill. Okay, it's just miles or square miles of people's refuse and garbage. And the stench is incredible. And it's just amazing. Well, can you imagine if we went down to the landfill this morning and we saw people living there? Sorting through the garbage, looking for the freshest food that has been thrown out that week, that has come by way of the garbage trucks. Well, that's what's happening in Manila at the garbage dump. Tens of thousands of people, Anderson writes, make their homes on that dump site. They've constructed shacks out of the things other people have thrown away. And they send their children out early every morning to scavenge for food out of other people's garbage so they can have food for the day for their family. People have been born, listen to this, people have been born and grown up there on the garbage dump. They've had their families, their children, their shacks, their garbage to eat. They've finished out their lives and they've died there without ever going anywhere else, even in the city of Manila. It's an astonishing thing. But then Leith Anderson says something more amazing. He said there are also Americans who live there in the garbage dump. They're missionaries, Christians who have chosen to leave their own country and communicate the love of Jesus Christ to people who otherwise would never hear it. Anderson writes, that's amazing to me. People would leave what we have to go and live on a garbage dump. Amazing. But again, that pales in comparison to the journey that our Father took to send His Son to earth as a baby. The Son of God made that journey and He knew what He was doing. He knew where He was going. He knew what the sacrifice would be. He journeyed from heaven to earth on a mission to save the human race. So the birth announcement, first of all, says He is born to you. And He's born this day. And He's born in the city of David. And He is a Savior. He is the Savior. That was prophesied, you remember, to Zechariah and to Joseph and to Mary. The third reason and the final point is this. Christ came for dominion. Remember what the prophet said? For unto us, say this with me, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders. Right? He is the Lord. He is Christ the Lord. And the angel said the same to Mary, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end. Luke 1:33. And then to the shepherds, the angel said, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. If I ask you this morning, hey, think back, all of you folks who have lived a few years, what's the greatest Christmas present you've ever gotten? What would it be? 1952, the world was introduced to Mr. Potato Head. The first toy to ever be advertised on TV was Mr. Potato Head. And back then, the kids who got a Potato Head for Christmas stuck their plastic eyes and their ears, their angry eyes, and their ears and their mouth onto an actual potato. Yeah, you just got the parts. You didn't get the head. It wasn't until 1964 that a plastic body was included with the toy. But that was one of the most coveted child's gifts. Every kid in America wanted a Mr. Potato Head. Guess what this year's most coveted Christmas gift is? And this has been listed by children as young as 6 years old, putting on a Christmas list. They don't want a potato head. Are you kidding me? They want an Apple iPad 2. Apple iPad 2 is the number one most coveted Christmas gift. The angel announces that for Christmas, God has sent Himself, Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. That pretty much puts potato head and even Apple iPads in perspective, doesn't it? Puts them in their place. I was reading an article by Gene Edward Veith in World Magazine a few years ago. And he mentioned that 200 years ago, just think back 200 years in our history, if you were a child who lived 200 years ago in America, and you got a piece of candy in your stocking, you considered yourself to be very fortunate. If there was an orange in there as well, you were the luckiest kid in the world. Think of that, kids. Just think of today, all you got for Christmas was a piece of candy and an orange. How many would go, yes! Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom. Wow, I could not be happier. But that's the way it was 200 years ago. And in fact, the mother of the home got a handkerchief for Christmas, and the father got nothing. The breadwinner, it was not considered good form to give the man of the house anything for Christmas. So you can take all those presents back, ladies, that you bought for your husbands, because he doesn't need it. We don't need it, right? I don't know what you got your kids for Christmas or your wife or husband, but I can bet it's probably more than a piece of candy and an orange. That's okay. But let's not let this Christmas come and go without reminding each other of the most extravagant gift that anybody has ever given anybody at any time and ever will. God spared no expense. He did not count the cost. He simply gave. And the angel said it clearly. To everyone who will receive Him, God gave the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let me close with this thought. David Peterson was pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Spokane, Washington for a while. He told about a time when he was preparing a sermon for the next morning, and his little daughter came in and said, Daddy, can we play? And he said, Honey, I'm awfully sorry, but I'm right in the middle of preparing this sermon. In about an hour, I can play. She said, Okay, Daddy, when you're finished, I'm going to give you a great big hug. And she turned and started to walk out the door, and then she turned around and came back and just gave him a bear bone-crushing, chiropractic-needing hug. And he said, Thank you very much. But honey, I thought you said you were going to give me a hug after I finished. And she said, Daddy, I just want you to know what you have to look forward to. And one meaning of Christmas is this, that God, in the first advent, the first coming, just wanted us to know what we have to look forward to in His second coming. I hope you're ready for Christmas. It's here. No more time to get ready. It doesn't matter whether you bought all the presents or not. It might matter to those who won't get one. But what mostly matters is that our hearts are prepared for the most important gift that's ever been given to mankind. Let's pray and prepare our hearts to receive that, even by way of communion this morning. Father, we thank You for the good news, the birth announcement that was proclaimed to the world on a Judean hillside 2,000 years ago. As poor shepherds heard the first glorious news on earth that the Savior had been born, that it had happened, that what we had long awaited had come to pass. Lord, I know there are people here this morning that are still waiting for something. They're longing for something to happen in their hearts, in their lives, in their family, with their job, whatever it might be. There's much longing. Lord, I pray that this morning we might look to You and that we might be reminded that the One who kept His promise, greatest promise ever made to mankind, keeps all of His promises. And those things which are supposed to be ours are coming. May not come when we want them, but they're on their way. We thank You for the good gift, the great gift of Your Son, Jesus. May we live today and every day in honor of the Christ child, who grew up to be a man and to lay down His life to take our place on the cross. As we prepare to take the elements of communion together and remember the reason You came to be born, Jesus, may You do a work in our hearts this morning of cleansing and renewal and restoration of hope and joy. May this truly be a joyful day for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Burlington, North Carolina. You can download other messages by Pastor Fox at www.antiochchurch.cc. You can also learn how to order his book entitled Family Integrated Church or his men's devotional, Real Life Moments. Again, that website is www.antiochchurch.cc. May God bless you.